Today's Shem Sechti Vam is Tabez. As Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, we have the schus beginning with Sechti Yivamis. Sechti Yivamis is primarily about the mitzvah of someone, Rechman Aslan, is nifta without children. The Torah says that surviving brother should do Yibam. Lachim Shem La'achiv, in order to help that his brother's name be maintained with him remarrying his wife, his brother's wife, who under normal circumstances, as we will discuss quite often in this Masechta, is an erva to a brother-in-law. Eishes Ach is one of the ervis. But here, the Torah said, because they l'hakim shem l'achiv, the Isra of Eishes Ach is lifted and they could have Yibam. Of course, as we will also learn quite extensively, the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of Yibam, but the Torah says that if Yibam is not an option, or if the, for whatever reason, as we will learn, doesn't want to do Yibam, then where the halacha is that chalitza is done instead of the Yibam. It's extremely important to point out, when we say that chalitza is done instead of the Yibam, chalitz is only required in a situation where Yibam was an option. If Yibam was not a halachic option, then there's no requirement to do chalitza either. Only because Yibam was possible and it wasn't done, that's when the Torah requires that chalitza be done. And of course, the name of the Masechta is Yivamis, not chalitzis, because the proper mitzvah, at least in the time of Chazal, was to do Yibam. Only, as I just said, if they didn't do Yibam, so then the Torah says, do Chalitza, but since Yibam is the preferable, the Masechta is called Masechta Yivamis. Masechta Yivamis, as we begin Masechta Yivamis, is the first of all the Masechtas in Tzei the Noshim. And now we're going to begin learning Tzei the Noshim. And the question is, why when we learn in the order of Shas, does Noshim come before Nezikim? And there are two pshatim that I saw in the Rishonim. The Rambam says, because we look in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah says, first, V'chiyimka ish esbita la'ama, which, as we will learn, Mitzvah Shem, is a form of Kedushin. And then only the Torah says, V'chiyinatzu anashim, if there's chas v'shalom, a battle, and only then does the Torah also say kigach shar ish as shareyu. So the Torah speaks about noshim before nezikim. Therefore, says the Rambam, since we follow the order of the Torah, the other rishonim, Tosfos Rishonim says, we look at the pasuk which describes, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, daf lamed aleph, the sisha sidri mishnah. So first, the pasuk says, Amunas is said the Zroim, Itecha is said the Mayid, Chaisin is said the Noshim, and Yeshuas is said the Nezikin. So that pasuk, which speaks about the Shishi Sidra Mishnah, mentions Noshim before Nezikim. That's why when we learn Shas, we learn Noshim before Nezikim. Of course, the question, as the Rambam points out, is that why when we begin, as we are now, Baruch Hashem, beginning to learn Tzei the Noshim, why does Tzei the Noshim begin with Masechta Yivamis? Shouldn't Tzei the Noshim begin with Gittin and Kedushin, which are prerequisites? First you get married, and after you get married, then there could be a situation, Chas V'Shalom, of Yibam Mechalitza. So the Rambam says that Beis Din cannot force a person to get married. But if a person, Rachman Slan, dies without children, Beis Din could force the brother to do Yibam Mechalitza. So therefore, since Yibam Mechalitza is something that could be forced, whereas Gittin Kedushin, Beis Din cannot force somebody to do Yibam Mechalitza, Kedushin, that's why it's mentioned first. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is, and we mentioned this when we learned Masechta Ma'akotin, there are those that suggest that actually the last Masechta of Seyd Mayid is Mayid Katan. And as we learned, Masechta Mayid Katan discussed Avelis, discussed the situation of somebody, Rechman Slan, being Nifter, it makes sense that we should continue with Yevamis, which also comes because somebody passed away. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that the first mitzvah that we find in the Torah that had to do with Inyanei Noshim is when Yehuda did Yibum with Tamar. Even though, of course, the Rishonim ask, that actually wasn't the first mitzvah. The first mitzvah was Pur Revu, having children. But as we learned and will learn in Mitzvah Shem, the mitzvah of Pur Revu is only a mitzvah on men, not a mitzvah on women. Whereas, and this may be one of the rayas, the mitzvah of Yibum is a mitzvah of that applies to men and women, and therefore we mention it first. Another pshat that the Meiri explains, many people know that Masechta Yevamis is not necessarily such an easy Masechta. So we begin, say the Noshim, with a Masechta that's not necessarily so easy. And therefore, first to begin with a Geshmak. Tosfos Yontif gives a different explanation. He says when somebody performs the mitzvah of Yibum, he's actually performing a double mitzvah. Because when they get married, so like by every marriage, there's a mitzvah Pur Revu. This is also such a marriage, and therefore there's a mitzvah Pur Revu. And aside from the mitzvah Pur Revu, we're also fulfilling the mitzvah Yibum. And therefore, that comes first. But as I said a moment ago, the mitzvah is primarily Yibum, to do Yibum. And if Yibum is not going to be conducted, then we should do Chalitza. So there's an interesting Shaila that the Cheshukei Chemet discusses. What should somebody do? Somebody has the obligation to do Yibum or Chalitza on his sister-in-law, or to do Kedushin, he's Baruch Hashem engaged, and he should marry his wife. What should he do first? And he says, based on the various answers that we gave, why Masechta Yevamis is the first Masechta in Seyda Noshim, those different answers that we gave would have a direct bearing on the Shaila that we just discussed. For he says, if we're going to say that Yibum is a mitzvah that we're obligated to do, and again, we're not speaking here about a case where Yibum is going to be done. Because if Yibum is going to be done, certainly he has to do Yibum before he marries another woman. Here we're speaking about a case where Chalitz is going to be done. So he has the opportunity to marry, which we're learning now is such a critical mitzvah. He has the mitzvah to do chalitza, which is a mitzvah. So on one hand, we could say that getting married is more important. He's going to fulfill the important mitzvah, the first mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah Pur Revu. On the other hand, as we just said, Yibum is much more of a mitzvah that we're obligated to do. On the other hand, we said, what makes Yibum special? That you're fulfilling a double mitzvah, the mitzvah Pur Revu and the mitzvah of Yibum. But when you're doing Chalitza, it doesn't have that advantage. So he says that a woman who is a Yevama, and as we learned, we have to do Yibum or Chalitza, she can't get remarried. She is a Shemeris Yavam. And as we're going to learn, she may not get married until she has Yibum or Chalitza. So if part of what I'm doing is helping a woman who can't get married, therefore maybe that should take precedence over everything else. And moreover, he says, even during the Sheva Brachas where somebody got married, it may be appropriate to do Chalitza, and because saving this woman from the being chained to him. And as we learned in Masechta Mayid Katan, the Gemara spoke consistently about the concept of Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. And that's all we learned. We certainly can't make, a person can't get married to two women on the same day. We learned that included in the rule of Eima Arvin B'Simcha B'Simcha is that even during the Sheva Brachas, if somebody married a woman Of course, as we're going to see, in those times, men commonly had two wives. You can't marry a second wife until the Sheva Brachos is over. But what would be the halacha if somebody married a woman, and now he has the opportunity to do Yibam on his sister-in-law? Since we're learning that it's such an important mitzvah to do Yibam, L'hokim Shem L'achiv, to save this woman from no longer being a Shemeres Yavim, it may be that even during the Sheva Brachos, the halacha is that one should do the Yibam. And this really opens up a different discussion. We know, as I said a moment ago, that the purpose of doing Yibam is L'hokim Zera. And there's a serious discussion amongst the Rishonim if when somebody does Yibam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps that this couple will have a baby, which will be the fulfillment of the requirement of the mitzvahs Yibam L'hokim Shem L'Zera, is included in that requirement that he should name this baby after his deceased brother, or maybe that is not necessarily the halacha. So begins the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Chamesh Esor Noshim, as we're going to discuss extensively, there are 15 women, Paitrus Tarasayim. As I said a moment ago, in those days, men were allowed to marry more than one woman. And if a man was married to two women, and one of the women that he was married to was related to his surviving brother, related to the degree, as we're going to learn, that there's an Isser for him to marry that woman. So, of course, the mitzvah of Yibam is not said in that case. The mitzvah of Yibam only takes away, as we've said, the Isser Eishes Ach. The mitzvah of Yibam does not take away the other Isurim that are involved. And therefore, the mitzvah Yibam cannot take away that other Issa, so you can't do Yibam on that woman. And as we just said, if Yibam isn't an option, then Chalitza is also not an option. But teaches us our Mishnah that the other wife of this deceased brother, who wasn't and isn't related to the surviving brother, since she is a tzara, she's the co-wife of the surviving brother, she too becomes exempt from the mitzvah of Yibam. And as I said, if there's no mitzvah of Yibam, there's no mitzvah of Chalitza as well. And that's what the Mishnah says. Chamesh Esor Noshim, we're going to speak about 15 situations where not only is the woman who is related to the surviving brother potter from Yibam and Chalitza, but the co-wife, the tzara, and the reason a co-wife is called a tzara is because usually these two wives are not necessarily going to get along. They're sharing the same husband, and they're also considered a tzara. And the way Rabbi Chanan explains this, Rabbi Chanan says, we need to understand what happens here. It's not because she is attached to that wife, to the other wife, who can't have Yibam Chalitza, and therefore it extends to her. Rather, the way to understand the Gemara, says Rabbi Chanan, way to understand the sin, is that really, if a brother dies, he's not allowed to marry his sister-in-law. Eishes Achiv is in a serious erva. The Torah, under certain circumstances, said that the Isser of Eishes Achiv falls away in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibam. But where there's no mitzvah to Yibam, the Isser Eishes Achiv remains as it was in the beginning. Pataras are saying, Min Chalitza Min Yibam. All these women are going to be potter from Chalitza, and once they're potter from Chalitza and Yibam, both, and the Mishnah says, At Soif Olam. And Tosfos asked the question, why does the Mishnah have to say, At Soif Olam? So the Ramban answers, that's usually the kind of wording the Mishnah uses, at Soifa Olam. But Tosfos gives a different teretz. Tosfos says that where do we know this halacha that we're going to discuss in a moment of Tzaris Tzarisayim? This halacha of Tzaris Tzarisayim, says Tosfos, is learned from the word litzror. So if I only had that word, I would think that this halacha extends to the tzara and to the tzaros tzara. How do I know it extends even further? That's why the Mishnah had to explicitly say that it goes at soif kol adoris until all generations. Taisus actually has here a discussion that not everybody learns this halacha from the word litzror. This teretz is only good teretz if we're basing it on the litzror. And we'll get to those lamud and we'll explain it better. Ve'lehem. What are the 15 women? The first example is bitoy. If somebody violated, we're not talking about a daughter that was born in marriage. Because if it was a daughter that was born in marriage, that the Torah already teaches us that you can't have relations with your wife's daughter. So if she's your daughter, not just your wife's daughter. But our Mishnah is referring to a situation where Reuven violated a woman and the baby born was Sarah. Sarah went and married Sarah, who's Reuven's daughter, married Reuven's brother, who's her uncle, Shimon. Now Shimon died without any children. So Reuven cannot do Yibum on his daughter. Her daughter is also to him, even if it's a daughter not born in wedlock. And if Reuven and if Sarah has a Tzara, that woman also is exempt from Yibum. And we'll soon see what Tzara. Baspita means Reuven violated a woman and they had a baby Sarah. Sarah had a baby whose name is Leah. And Leah married her great uncle Shimon. And now Shimon dies without children. So since a grandfather cannot do Yibum with his granddaughter, as the Torah says, Eres bas bincha bas bitcha lo sigala, the halacha extends to Haktzara as well. Ubas benoi. Here we have a situation where Reuven violated a woman and they had a baby son. His name was Yitzchak. And Yitzchak had a baby whose name is Leah. Shimon, Reuven's brother, married his great niece Leah. And now Shimon died without children. So just like Reuven can't do Yibum in his granddaughter, so too Hatzaris Potter. Bas Ishtai. If a woman had a baby before she married somebody, that daughter, even though she's not his daughter, because she's the daughter of his wife, for example, Avram married Sarah and they had a child, Rivka. And then Avram was Nifter and Sarah got married to Reuven. And Reuven has a brother, Shimon. Shimon marries Rivka, the daughter of Sarah. They're totally not related. And now Shimon dies, so Reuven cannot do Bia, cannot have Yibum with his stepdaughter, with his wife's daughter, and that will apply to the Tzara as well. And the same halacha would apply if she's a daughter, Bas Bina. That means Avram again married Tzara. They had Yitzchak. And then Yitzchak had a baby called Leah. And then Avram passed away, and Tzara married Reuven. And Shimon, who's Reuven's brother, married Leah, who's the granddaughter of Sarah, who's the granddaughter of Sarah, Reuven's wife. So since Reuven cannot have Yibum with his wife's granddaughter, makes no difference how she is his granddaughter, whether she's a granddaughter from a son, or whether she's a granddaughter from a daughter. So the halacha is that in this case as well, he can't do Yibum with his granddaughter, with his wife's granddaughter, so he won't be able to do Yibum with his wife's, that woman's tzara. And the same halacha is Bas Bitoy, whether she's a granddaughter, not from his daughter's son, not from his wife's son, but rather from his wife's daughter. The next case is Chamoisai. That means a brother, married his brother's mother-in-law after his father-in-law died. And now his brother dies without any children. So it turns out that his mother-in-law falls to him to Yibum. And of course, one may not have relations with his mother-in-law. And since he can't have relations with his mother-in-law, he can't also have relations with a, he can't do Yibam with a Tzara. And now the same case would be with Eim Chamoisai, that it's not his mother-in-law who his brother married, it's his mother-in-law's mother who his brother married. But one can't have relations with his mother-in-law's mother. And since he can't have relations with his mother-in-law's mother, she isn't a candidate for Yibam to him. And once she's not a candidate for Yibam to him, Tzara is the same. And the same halacha applies, says the Mishnah, to Eim Chamav. Eim Chamav means his mother, the mother of his father-in-law, which is that has the same rule that he's not have relations with his father's, with his father-in-law's mother, and therefore were she to fall to Yibam to him, it would be a Yibam that's not acceptable. And once it's a Yibam that's not acceptable, so she's not a candidate for Yibam, and not only is she not a candidate for Yibam, but her Tzara is also not a candidate for Yibam. All of these women that we just mentioned are all learned from the pasuk that the Torah Kedoshah says, Ervas ishu bita leisigala, es baspana vespata bita leisikach. And therefore, since he can't marry these women, so they're not candidates for Yibam. As I said a few moments ago, they remain with the Isser of Eishasach. And not only do they remain with the Isser of Eishasach, they also exempt their tzoris from having Yibam. Achoysoi me'imoi. That means, Yaakov married Leah, and they had a son called Shimon. Yitzchak married Rachel, and they had a baby called Sarah. Yitzchak passed away, and Yaakov married Rachel. Yaakov married Almona of Yitzchak, Rachel, and they had a baby Reuven. And Shimon married Sarah, who's not his sister, not from his mother, nor from his father. And now he died without any children. And Sarah falls to Reuven, who is a brother because they share the same father. Sarah can't have Yibam and Chalitza from Reuven because they share the same mother, Rachel. And that will apply to the Tzara as well. Achois Imai means that his mother's sister was married to a brother from the father. And as we're going to learn in this Masechta over and over again, that the paternal brothers are our count. Again, the example, Yaakov married Sarah, and they had Shimon. And then he also married Rachel, and they had Reuven. So Reuven and Shimon have the same father, Yaakov, but they have different mothers. One, Shimon's mother is Sarah, Rachel's mother is, and Reuven's mother is Rachel. They have the same father, Yaakov, different mothers. Rachel has a sister whose name is Leah. Shimon married Leah, and Shimon died without children. Leah doesn't get Yibam because she is in the category of Erves Achois Imcha. She is a sister of his mother, so she, in the Torah, says Erves Achois Imcha Lo Segala. The next example is Achois Ishtai. That means his wife's brother was his wife's sister was married to his brother. In other words, two brothers married two sisters, and after the brother died, so he's not allowed to marry Achois Ishtoi. And since he's not allowed to marry Achois Ishtoi, she's exempt from Yibam, and so too does it apply to her Tzara. Even though the Isser of Achois Ishtoi is not an Isser that remains forever, the Isser of Achois Ishtoi is only as long as his wife is alive. But so that's not something that will remain forever. Still, explained the Rishonim, we look at the Shas Nefila. We look at the moment of death of the brother. And if at that moment Yibam wasn't an option, it remains Usur even when it is not an Usur anymore. Ve'eshes Ochiv Me'imai. That means Yaakov married Leah, and they had Shimon. And Avram married Rachel, and they had Yitzchak. Avram passed away, and Avram passed away, and Yaakov now married Rachel, who is the Almana of Avram, and they have a son called Reuven, and Yitzchak died, and Yitzchak married Rivka, and he died. Now Shimon married Rivka, who was married to Yitzchak, because he's not a brother, not from the father, not from the mother. Now if Shimon dies without any children, and Rivka falls to Reuven, who is a brother of Shimon because they share a father, because she's parted from Yibam, because even though she's a sister, she's Shimon's wife, who is an Eishes Achim Mi'im Aviv, and we learned that Eishes Achim Mi'im Aviv is exempt from Yimai, from has the mitzvah of Yibam, but Eishes Achim Mi'im Aviv doesn't have the mitzvah Yima, and she was an Eishes Achim Mi'im. And since she was an Eishes Achim Mi'im, that's why she's exempt from Yibam. Of course, the question is, maybe if that's the case, if we're saying that Eishes Achim Mi'im is exempt from Yibam, Eishes Achim Mi'aviv is where there's the mitzvah of Yibam. So what would be the halacha if somebody has a brother who's a full-fledged brother? They share the same father and the same mother. So yes, if we pay attention to the part that they're paternal brothers because they share the same father, there's a mitzvah of Yibam. But if we look at the part that they also share a mother, so every time that's going to be an Eishes Achiv Mi'imai. And we're learning that an Eishes Achiv Mi'imai is exempt from Yibam. So any full-fledged brother's wife maybe is exempt. So Rev Aaron Leib Steinman Zitzal in his Sefer Ayal Sashachar explains this: when we say that Eishes Achim Mi'im Einemus Yibamis, it's not because there's an Isser of Eishes Achim Mi'im. What it means is that Eishes Achim Mi'im, there's no mitzvah of Yibam. Since there's no, more than that, it's not considered a brother. So as far as Hilchos Yibam is concerned, the fact that the maternal brothers is totally not taken into consideration. But it's not that it's Eishes Achmen Av has a mitzvah, Eishes Achmen Aim doesn't have a mitzvah. And therefore, if we're going to have a person who's both an Eishes Achmen Av and Eishes Achmen Aim, we have here two competing, contradictory obligations. Is there a mitzvah Yibam? Isn't there a mitzvah Yibam? It should be viewed, said Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, totally differently. The way he says it should be viewed is that the mitzvah, that they're not considered brothers as far if they're only Eishes Achim Mi'im. Not that it makes it worse. And the next case is Eishes Achiv Shelo Balamai, that one brother died before the next brother was alive. The halacha is that the mitzvah of Yibam is only if the two brothers were in the world at the same time. As the pasuk says, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtov, or Meis Echemhen Ubein Oinla, Yavam Yavala. If they were only together at the same time, is there a mitzvah of Yibam? If they didn't live in the world at the same time, there's no mitzvah Yibam. So now, if we had Reuven and Shimon at the world at the same time, and Reuven got married to Sarah, died without children, and now Levi was born. Sarah, who is the wife, Sarah, who was the wife of Reuven, has Yibam to Shimon, because Reuven and Shimon were in the world at the same time. Now, Shimon did Yibam, and now Shimon dies also, Rachman son, without any children. And he has another wife, whose name is Rivka. So since Yibam cannot be done between Levi and Sarah, because Levi and Reuven were not in the world at the same time. So since they weren't at the world at the same time, so the mitzvah of Yibam doesn't apply. Once the mitzvah of Yibam doesn't apply, as I said, so she reverts back, well, she doesn't revert back, she remains with the Isser of Eishes Ach. And that Isser is a very strong erva. And since that Isser remains, it remains forever. And therefore, even now, where she's falling to Levi, not because of Reuven, who Reuven and Levi never lived in the world at the same time. She's falling to Levi because of Shimon. It doesn't make a difference. That label of Eishes Ach remains forever. And once that label of Eishes Ach remains forever, she never could be a candidate of Yibum to Levi. And therefore, since she can't be a candidate for Yibum to Levi, her co-wife, her tzara, can also not be. The Kalasai. His daughter-in-law. Somebody's daughter-in-law got her, somebody's son passed away. And his daughter-in-law got remarried to his brother. And then his brother dies. The halacha is, since he can't do Yibum in his daughter-in-law, because a daughter-in-law remains also to a person forever. And as Rashi says, his son died, but all the Rishonim and Achronim say that even if the son didn't die, he divorced her, the same halacha remains. If this woman was once the wife of his son, she remains heir to him forever. And in all these cases, Hare'elu Paitus, Tzareseyan, V'tzaret Tzareseyan, and Chalitza, and Yibam, all these women take that the tzaris, that they and the tzaraseyim, apata menachalitzim reyibim at saif oilim. That means, what does tzaraseyim mean? We haven't focused on that yet. Tzaraseyim means that if Shimon had two wives, Sarah and Rivka, and Shimon had two brothers, Reuven and Levi, Shimon died without any children. So now Sarah cannot do Yibam on Reuven, because let's say Sarah is Reuven's daughter. So therefore, Sarah and her co-wife, Rivka, are exempt from Yibam. Now Levi did Yibam in Rivka. And he also married another woman. Let's say he married a woman, Rachel. And he now died without children. So just like Rivka is potter from Yibam. And why is Rivka potter from Yibum? Because at one moment, at the moment of her first husband's death, when Shimon died, she was potter because she was a tzaras erva. So as we keep on explaining in our shir, once she gets the label that she's potter from Yibum, she gets the title of being an achos eishes achiv that won't fall away. And if eishes achiv is an erva. And therefore, since she's retaining that title, even if she now has a co-wife, and she and the co-wife are not related at all to the man that they fall to Yibum to, it doesn't make a difference. Why? Because that's the halacha of Tzaras, that's the halacha of Tzaras Tzareseim, that the halacha of Tzaras, the halacha of Tzaras Tzareseim remains forever. So Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, based on what we're learning, why do we have to have a special limud for Tzaras Tzareseim? Of course, if as we keep on repeating in our shir, that Tzaras Tzareseim is a situation that if she's a tzara for one moment, if she was not a candidate for Yibam for one moment, she retains the name of Eishes Ach, so of course, she's an erva. And therefore she's never a candidate for Yibam. And not only is she not a candidate for Yibam, it should extend to Hatzara, because that Hatzara is the Tzara of an Erva. So the Maramis said that explains that the Torah that teaches us, as we're going to see in the Gemara soon, where do we know the halacha that a Tzara is indeed potter, that an Erva is potter from Yibam? We learn it from the halacha of Achos Ishtai. And just like we learned, we mentioned this a few moments ago, that the Isser of Achos Ishtai doesn't apply forever. It only applies as long as his wife is alive. So maybe we should say that this Isser of Eishes Ach, yes, it applied to the Tzara. But it should only apply to the Tzara when she's the Tzara of an Erva. When she's no longer the Tzara of the Erva, just like we see that the Isser of Achos Ishtai is not an Isser that remains forever, maybe the Isser of Eishes Ach is also an issa that shouldn't remain forever, especially since we're learning it, since this whole din that we're learning in our shiur today is based on what the Torah teaches us by Chois Ishtai. That's the way the Meraim Sadat answers. Rav Shimon Shkop has a different teretz. He says that the reason that the Torah, we would perhaps say that once the brother marries her, an example that I just gave, so the first marriage that she had becomes null and void. It's as if it never happened. It's a whole new world that started here when she married the second brother, when she had Yibam with the brother who, as we just explained, she was allowed to have Yibam with. And therefore, the fact that she was once a tzara of an erva, and yes, as we've been learning, she got the title of an Eishes Ach, that maybe should fall away with this new marriage. That's why we need a pasuk to tell us that what happened doesn't just disappear. Another pshat is that there are maybe two dinim. There's a din that there's an issa karis of an Eishes Ach, but there's maybe a din that she's an Eishes Ach, but maybe the mitzvah of being makim shem la'achiv should supersede anything else. That's what the Torah has to teach us, that no, that in these situations, it does not supersede. So the question that comes up is our Mishnah discusses over and over women who are not candidates for Yibam. And we're not only learning that because they're not candidates for Yibam, there's no din of Yibam, they remain Eishes Ach, as we keep on repeating, but it even affects the Tzara. So what would be the halacha if a woman, when her husband died, was a Nida? Ask Tosfos, you obviously could not have done Yibam at that moment because she's a Nida. And since she's a Nida, so that Isser should make that she's not a candidate for Yibam. Yet our Mishnah did not mention a Nida as an Erva who doesn't have a mitzvah Yibam. So Taisa says that there's a difference between the Erva of a Nida versus any other type of Erva. And Taisa explains. Somebody who's an Erva, for the different examples that we learned in the Mishnah, if a person who their relationship is a relationship that she's considered an Erva to him, the halacha is that if somebody attempts to do Kedushin, the Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin. Whereas, if somebody does Kedushin in Anida, of course he's not supposed to have relations with her, but the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. And therefore, she's not similar to all the other Arayas that I mentioned. Another explanation that Taisus gives. The Torah says that, let's say, somebody at the moment of death, the brother at the moment of death, did not have any children. They had children. So there's no mitzvah yibam. And what happens? Now that child dies. Does the sister-in-law now become, does this wife become, have the chiv of yibam? So the Gemara we're going to learn explains the Torah cannot set up a situation where first she's exempt and then she become a chuyiv. It's not a way to live. That we could say by a child, but a nida is not going to be a nida forever. And therefore, even though at this moment she's a nida, since that's not something which is going to remain forever, the halacha is that she is a candidate for Yibam. The Chacham Tzvi asks an interesting question. He says that we know that when somebody loses one of the close relatives from whom he has to sit Shiva, so at that moment he becomes an Oinon. And an Oinon is part of from all the mitzvahs. So that means at the moment where the brother died, he could not have done Yibam with his sister-in-law because he's an Oinon. And an oinin is part of a mitzvah. So the question is, so since at that moment there was no mitzvah of Yibam, that exemption should remain even after he's no longer an oinin. So the Chacham Tzvi answers that even though Yibam wouldn't be an option, chalitza is an option. Because chalitza is not a mitzvah. Yibam is a mitzvah, and indeed an oinin is part of a mitzvah. Chalitza, says the Chacham Tzvi, is not a mitzvah. So since he could have done chalitza, that's why we don't say that she became prohibited to him. Another explanation that the Achronim give, that the only time it's considered that Yibum, and this is the same thing by Anida that we try to explain, the only time it's considered that if she was potter, is if it's type of Issa, which is an Issa that remains, which could remain forever. A person is not going to be an Einan forever. He's only going to be an Einan until the Nifta is buried. A woman is only going to be a Nida until she is a Nida, but that's not going to remain permanently. When the Mishnah, the Torah, teaches us that she's exempt from Yibum, it's only when it's a type of Isser that's going to remain. The type of Isser, which by definition is only a temporary Isser, the halacha is, there is, the dinim of our Mishnah doesn't apply. Says the Mishnah, Hare'elu Patris Sarasayim, all these cases that we've just been learning, Hare'elu Patris Sarasayim, Vitzaret Sarasayim, Menachalitza Menayibim Ara Oilam. Continues the Mishnah, Vekulu, and Mesu, if the woman who is the erva to the surviving brother died before her husband, Oy Mianu. The halacha is that if a woman gets married when she's a ketana, not by her father, she's a yosaima, her mother or her brother married her off, the halacha is that she is a candidate that until she becomes a gedola, she could do miyun. That means she doesn't even have to have a divorce. Miyun means annulment, and she could just annul the marriage. So Rashi asks, the first case of our Mishnah is Bitoy. So if somebody has, if it's his daughter, that means he's still alive. So how could she be a candidate for Miyun? When the father marries off the daughter, no matter what her age is, she's not a candidate for Miyun, because that's a Kedusha Daraisa. So the Rashi answers that we could have a case where somebody has a father and she's still a candidate for Miyun. And that is that the Torah indeed gives the father the right to marry off that a daughter. But that's only a first marriage. So let's say a young girl will get married off by a father, and then her husband divorces her, her husband dies. So even though she's a ketana, and even though she's still Baruch Hashem as a father, she's considered a yusoyma b'chaya av, and she's not and she still could be a candidate for miyun. Or the brother who ultimately dies divorced this wife who's an erva before he died. And they turn out to be an islandess. An islandess is a woman who is not able to have children. And as we're going to be learning, the islandess is not really considered a wife because it's considered a mekech tos. And there's a very serious discussion amongst the Rishonim, is every time when somebody's wife is an islandess, is the kedushin automatically a mekech tos? Rashi seems to differentiate whether there was only Erisin or Nesuin. If there was Nesuin, it doesn't automatically get dissolved without a get. Tosfos seems to differentiate between a situation where he was aware that she's an islandess, and since he was aware she's an islandess and he still married her, the Kedushin doesn't get dissolved without a get, versus where he wasn't aware the Kedushin gets dissolved because it was a mekech tos. In all these cases, they're not wives of the deceased brother. If they're not wives of the deceased brother, the halacha that the tzara of a erva is part of a yibum would not apply. And therefore, in all these cases, tzareseim mutaris. So, Taisa says, as we just said, that if he knew that she is an islandess, then the kedushin is a valid kedushin, and if he wants to divorce her, he has to give her a get. So the Sefer Chanukas HaTorah says, the Pasuk says that when Avimelech took Sarah, the Pasuk says, V'ata hashiv eseish yisaish kinovihu. And the Gemara Masech Demakas, Daf Tesa Mebeis, say, you're not allowed to take somebody's wife, whether the husband is a Navi or not. So why is the Pasuk have to tell us that Avram Avinu was a Navi? Says the Chanukas HaTorah. Sarah was an Akara. Sarah was an islandess. So maybe Avimelech can make a very strong argument that this marriage of yours is not a real marriage. She's an islandess. So says the Pasuk, Ki Navihu. Avram Avinu certainly knew that Sarah was an islandess because Avram Avinu was a Navi. And as Tosfos just taught us, when you know your wife is an islandess, then it's not considered a Mekach Tos. And therefore, saying that she's an islandess is not going to get you, Avimelech, off the hook, says the Chanukah of Torah. But says the Gemara, Yata Yachal Loimer B'Chamoisai, in the case of Chamoisai, or Eim Chamav, that we explained early in the Mishnah, in any of these examples, we cannot say that they were islandess, because they had children. An islandess can't have children. Or we can't say in any of these cases, they're Miyana. Because the Halacha tells us that a woman cannot, the Halacha assumes that a woman cannot have children when she's a ketana. And as we just said, the only woman that could do miyun is a woman who's still a ketana. So if these women had children, obviously you can't be a mother-in-law or mother-in-law's mother unless you had children. So obviously all of these women whom we are speaking about are not islandess and also are not candidates for miyun. Says the Gemara, Kate said, Poitras are the same. As we explained earlier, what does this mean? Hoysa Bitoi is his daughter, just as an example. Ayach Makal Arayas Elu, Nesuas Lachiv, were married to his brother. Veloy and his brother also had Isha Cheres, another wife. Umais, and that brother passes away. Shame Shabita Betura, just like you don't do Yibam and your daughter, because your daughter is an Erva, and there's no din of Yibam on an Erva. So too, Kach Tzarasa Betura. Says the Gemara, what happens to explain further the case that Tzaras Tzara, so there were three brothers, Sarah, the daughter, there were three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Sarah, the daughter of Reuven, was married to Shimon, and Shimon also had another wife whose name was Rivka. Shimon died without any children. So Levi, who's not related, who's only a brother-in-law to these women, did Yibum with his sister-in-law. Rivka did Yibum with Levi. Achav Hasheni, the other brother. Now, Veloy Isha Cheres, and Levi has another wife besides this woman. Levi has Rivka. So now Levi dies where he had two wives. One wife is Rachel, who has nothing to do with Yibam, and Rivka. And now Levi died without children, and they fall to Reuven. So since at one point Rivka was the tzara of the daughter of Reuven, so she retains the name Eishes Ach, and not only will she never be able to be a candidate for Yibam to Reuven, but even her now co-wife, Rachel, is also not a candidate for Yibam. Kshem Shetzaras Bita Petura, this halacha could go on, Tzaras Petura, Afilu Heimeya, as we said, that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that we don't limit it to Litzrar, to Tzaras Tzara, it keeps on continuing. Ketzad, says the Gemara, what does this mean? Emesu Tzaraseim, if the Tzaraseim died or got divorced, the Mishnah explains what if somebody died or they got divorced, then the halacha is we look at the moment of death. Since at the moment of death they were not tzara of erva, therefore it's same matter, and therefore his daughter, or one of the other examples, was married to his brother. And this brother had another wife. And Reuven's daughter or died or was divorced from Shimon, his brother. And only afterwards, Mesa Achiv. So since at the moment of the death, she's not a wife, so the other wife is not considered Tzaras Erva. And says the Mishnah, another case. That is a case where somebody died with two wives. And one of the wives is married with this Kedusha Drabonim. And as we said earlier, when somebody's married with a Kedusha D'Rabbanan, Miyun is an option. So now the question that we have to discuss when we learn when we think about this case, is it considered as if his brother's married to his daughter, and since his brother's married to the daughter, she's not a candidate, and her tzara's not? Or since it's a kind of marriage that could be annulled with Miyun, that cannot consider it married. So says the Mishnah, V'kala yichayos l'man, v'loy miyuna, she is a candidate for Miyun, but she didn't exercise it. So we can't say that the tzara is completely off the hook as a tzara's erva, because it's hard to call her a tzara's erva when the marriage was such a shaky marriage. And therefore says the Mishnah, tzara'sa chalitzas v'lemus yabemus, the only thing we could do is chalitz in such a case, not yibam. We can't do yibam because it looks like a tzara's erva. We can't not do anything because truthfully she's not a tzara's erva, because the marriage is a marriage that could be annulled. So therefore, in such a case, we do chalitza.